Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Newgen Software Technologies Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all the participants' line will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Aditi Patil from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Muskan. Good evening, everyone, and welcome you all to the Q3 FY 2024 results of Newgen Software Technologies. We have with us today from the Newgen management team, Mr. Diwakar Nigam, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Varadarajan, Whole-time Director, Mr. Virender Jeet, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arun Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Deepti Mehra Chugh, Head Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Ms. Deepti for further proceedings. Thank you, and over to you, Deepti.
Thank you so much, Aditi. Hi, everyone, and Happy New Year to all. Before we move on for the discussion, let me highlight that this call may contain certain forward-looking statements concerning Newgen's future business prospects and profitability, which are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially vary from the forward-looking statements. Past performance may not be indicative of future performance. The company does not undertake to make any announcement in case any of these forward-looking statements become materially incorrect in future or update any forward-looking statements made from time to time by or on behalf of the company. For further details, you may please refer to the investor relations section of our website. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Nigam for presentation of the results, which will be followed by a Q&A. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and wishing you a very Happy New Year. Thank you for joining us for our Q3 FY 2024 financial result call. Newgen has always endeavored to deliver consistent business performance, and this quarter continues to be in that direction. We witnessed a record revenue quarter, with revenue reaching 324 crore, with a growth of 27% YoY. During the quarter, we also saw robust profitability and significant cash flow generation, highlighting the financial strength and resilience of our operations. Our revenue growth remained diversified across various geographies, specifically in our traditional market of EMEA and India regions. In the India market, we are witnessing significant opportunities in digitization in the lending space, especially for MSME segment, where many customer journeys need to be digitized, including integration with public digital infrastructure. Additionally, corporate and commercial lending, previously automated in part, is now moving towards end-to-end automation. Other area of focus includes trade finance automation, digitization of supply chain financing, and agri-lending digitization. The India region witnessed a revenue growth of 29% YoY during the quarter. We are expanding our presence, growing the value share, and fostering a stronger relationship through cross-selling opportunities in our installed base of public and private sector Indian banks. During the quarter, we further strengthened our collaboration with one more Indian public sector bank by providing the crucial trade finance supply chain finance solution with a total order value of rupees 18 crore. We also won an order from the leading player in the financial services industry, offering asset and liability product solutions for providing our loan origination system platform. EMEA region, we witnessed robust revenue growth of 42% YoY during the quarter. As we have highlighted earlier, in the Middle East region, there has been a notable surge in requirements for innovative banking solutions. Financial institutions in the region are actively deploying advanced technologies and digital platforms to offer more efficient, secure, and customer-centric banking services. Newgen is helping customers in this region by delivering solutions and services that cater to their unique requirements. In the APAC region, we witnessed a growth of 17%, and in America's region, we had a growth of 13% YOY. We have expanded our relationship with existing customers in these regions, including a large order from a leading global multinational bank in the Singapore region and one of the leading banks in Philippines as well, as a leading healthcare company in the U.S. We continue to witness upward trends in our order booking from existing bank customers as well as healthy new logo additions. We added 11 new logos across geographies in Q3. For the year till date, we have added 38 new logos. During the quarter, our annuity revenues were at rupees 191 crore, comprising of subscription revenues of 96 crores. Our implementation and support revenue grew at a faster pace during the quarter. Newgen has been at the forefront of modernizing technology stacks, leveraging innovative tools and frameworks like generative AI, open APIs, microservices, and intuitive UIs. These investments have enabled us to make application development faster and smarter, meeting the evolving need of businesses in a rapidly changing digital landscape. We are extremely delighted with the response of our products we are getting from customers across different geographies, as well as recognition from the industry analyst. We have been recognized in October 2023 in Gartner's Magic Quadrant for Enterprise Core Application Platform, fourth time in a row. We have also been recognized as a strong performer in Forrester Wave and Digital Process Automation Software. Newgen is also positioned as a leader in Everest Group's low-code technology providers in insurance, products, peak matrix assessment. Underscoring our commitment to delivering effective and innovative solutions, we have recently introduced Newgen One Marvin, a Gen AI-powered enhancement to our end-to-end automation platform, Newgen One. Newgen One Marvin is set to support organizations in rapidly transforming customers' digital journey through faster and smarter application development, automation of customer journey, as well as the help in building better customer engagement framework. Marvin combines the power of low-code with Gen AI, empowering business users to bring best practices into business by creating the necessary elements using GenAI. This will help us in rapidly developing different state-of-art use cases across sectors. Our multifaceted team plays a crucial role in delivering excellence across various aspects of our business operations. We are harnessing the combined powers of our global workforce that has expanded to 4,000 people now and is steadily growing and maturing in line with business growth. On the sales and marketing front, we continue to work on enhancing the customer's engagement, strengthening our team and partnership network, expanding our digital presence. We have recently partnered with Duck Creek Technologies, a leading provider of comprehensive property and casualty insurance software and services for insurers, to offer Newgen One OmniDocs contextual content services platform to insurers. Our recent customer meet in Mumbai, ACOM 2023, was a resounding success, providing an invaluable platform for meaningful interactions with our stakeholders. The event served as a testament to our commitment to customer engagement, fostering a positive environment of networking, knowledge sharing, and showcasing the strength of our product team and relationship with our valued clientele. On profits and margin, we delivered healthy growth in profits and expanded net margins during the quarter compared to same quarter last year. Profit after tax was 68 crores, witnessing a growth of 45% YoY. During the quarter, apart from investing 10% of our revenue on R&D initiative, the company invested 21% of revenue on various sales and marketing initiatives. On balance sheet, we witnessed strong cash flow generation with our net cash generated from operations activities for the 9 months during ending 31st was 193 crore. Our net trade receivables were 342 crores at the end of December, which resulted in net DSO of 106 days. Keeping in mind our shareholders' interest, we have recently declared a bonus in the ratio of 1:1. In the 9 months ending December 2023, our revenues were 869 crore, witnessing a growth of 30% YoY. Profit after tax was 146 crores, witnessing a growth of 51% YoY. We are looking forward to an exciting 2024, energized by the prospects of continuous growth, innovation and success. We continue to be committed towards building cutting-edge solutions and focusing on customer centricity to achieve newer milestones. We are now open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. And now we begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while question queue assembles. We have a first question with Aditya Patil. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers. So at the start of the year, you had mentioned that order book is growing faster than revenue at around 30% plus growth. Can you provide some color on the order book growth momentum currently? And like based on this order book growth, do you expect the 25% plus growth in revenue to continue in the near term, like for next 2 to 3 quarters?
Good evening and thank you, Aditya. Aditya is right. I think what over the last few quarters, the order book has significantly grown, and that's also on account of larger deal sizes which we are doing with the customers. And some of these order books are typically, you know, 1 year or multi-year as well. So right now, I think for the first 9 months, our order book growth has been roughly around at around 20%. For 9 months period. However, you know, the order book which we have already accumulated over last 4 quarters, there's a significant part of that yet to be executed over next 2-3 quarters. We do see generally our growth will be more determined from our deal velocity and in terms of new deals which we win in the market. And out there, we are convinced that our as the market is right now looking both India, Middle East, and also the markets where we are trying hard like US and all are showing good traction, and we find that the growth momentum can continue. Exactly what the numbers would be, as I told last time also, that our Q3, Q4 are significant quarters. We have seen a higher growth rate in the Q3 quarter, which has given us more confidence to have a strong Q4. But we'll have to wait for exactly what the numbers are worth.
Okay, got it. And so in this quarter, there was a YoY decline in the license revenue. But like Q3 is traditionally has been seasonally strong for license revenue. So was this because of already you had recognized a good amount of license revenue in first half of FY24?
Yeah, you are right. I think so. Basically, what there are two parts of license revenue. We are also at the beginning of the year, we said that license growth rate is going to be lower than the company's growth rate because we are also looking at subscription-based revenues coming in, which are part of coming in annuity. Still, for the year, we have grown the license for 9 months for a period by around 25%, which is, and then the subscription has grown by around 33%. So it continues to grow, and so we don't see that as a concern. Q3 has been strong, but last year Q3 was phenomenally large on license deals. So if you compare to quarter and quarter, it looks flat, but on the year basis, it's growing at more than 25%.
Okay, got it. And the growth in subscription revenue, is it largely driven by growth in US geography, or in other geographies also you are able to get subscription based deals?
I think US predominantly has a large base, but other geographies are where we are adding the new logos and new customers out there in subscription. So right now the growth is determined as an outcome of total company's revenue across all geos.
Okay, got it. And so this quarter we also saw good growth in the government and healthcare verticals, like apart from BFSI. Can you give some color on what is driving growth in these two verticals?
I think right now, you know, for both these verticals, I would not say that, you know, they have been growth drivers. But what has happened, some of our existing contracts or existing accounts have given significant deals, especially in healthcare in US. We've got a substantial deal which has reflected in growth in that account. Government, I think right now the base numbers are very small, and any deal every quarter can change the names, number significantly. I would say that still the growth is being driven by financial services, for us that to banking predominantly, and all the other segments are following ahead.
Okay, got it. And one last question on the GenAI based new product which you have launched. So what is the interest among clients for this product? And are you able to price higher for NewGen 1, Marvin?
So basically what's happening globally, all products are looking at leveraging AI to drive use cases and drive functionality. And with the kind of innovation and the interest market has seen in generative AI over last, it's a natural expectation from all product categories to leverage that. So our Marvin is an extension for the same, in terms of we are looking at how we can enhance the low-code capabilities of our product, how we can enhance the content management capabilities of the product. So these are horizontal capabilities added to our product, which will just make our product better and more competitive in the market. Some of these components are priced separately if the customers buy, but most of these capabilities get bundled as part of the enhancement of the product in that. So we are not looking at Marvin on its own to drive revenue streams, but we are looking at it as essential capabilities to augment our product to make it more competitive for both mature markets as well as our existing customers.
Okay, so like all the new deals which you will be winning, they will include this Marvin by default as part of the feature?
Yeah, most of the times it may be priced as a component or it may be part of the default offer.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question from Baidik Sarkar from Unify Capital.
Jasmine, hi, good evening, and congrats on a very strong quarter. So, Varinda, clearly we are in the midst of a new technology refresh cycle. How do you reckon we understand where exactly we are in the cycle, right? Are we significantly early days, or do you reckon that we're closer to a more mature phase, you know, because this refresh cycle perhaps started right after COVID? How do you reckon we imagine that, firstly? And secondly, you know, how should we deconstruct the growth in your annuity business between newer logo additions versus ramp-up in existing logos that you've already won, say, over the last few quarters?
Thanks, Sarkar. And so, you see, on the tech cycles, I think every few years, I think we have some major enhancements happening in tech cycles globally, and they are determined from various factors. Right now, I think you will see more coming from you know, what's happening in AI, how it's influencing. But also previously, whether it was around cloud service platforms or, you know, mobility. Generally, it's part of the product companies to be slightly ahead of the tech cycle, because when your customers are buying products, they are buying it for typically a long time usage. And they don't want to buy something which is not more contemporary and is not going to keep them, you know, slightly behind their tech or technology innovation curve. So it's a structured process in any serious product company to stay slightly ahead of tech cycle. And then invest right in time so that you are not left behind or your products don't become obsolete. So I think we are quite comfortable. And what we think with AI, the way AI as well as generative AI, the way they are leading changes in some of the way the customers are going to consume the system or how the new use cases are going to be delivered. That's why I have a lot of investment, you know, our the number theory acquisition was part of that plan, our generative AI launch is part of that plan, and more use cases are coming. So we think we are quite comfortable, and in fact, we'll be leading in some of these areas and with our customer base.
So you know, if I can just, you know, position that question in a different way, right, brother? So you know, we know that, you know, EMEA and India is the bulk of our customer base, and we kind of know, you know, what the end user demand there is, right? So, you know, what do your conversations with these, you know, with decision makers in this geography entail? Is this a refreshed budget that will continue for the foreseeable future, just given how much anecdotally we know digitization remains to be done in the system? I mean, if you could just give me a more granular sense of how your conversations, and especially these two geographies, are progressing, EMEA and India.
Yeah, so predominantly, if you look at India and Middle East, I think they are on the journey of typically doing what you call end-to-end digitalization. They have done a lot of digital initiatives over the last 4 or 5 years. It has been in, you know, what you call pieces or parts. And they are looking at, you know, transforming the complete customer experience or what you call the digital journey out there. And this is a use case which is happening across all major financial industries in these markets. Now, where we are saying right now, I think the largest business or the interest where they touch consumers is happening in the areas of where typically lending. And that's where the first transformation is happening. So lending still has got a lot of areas like Mr. Devakar mentioned, MSME, lending is very important. Commercial lending is very important. Retail has always shown interest. So there's a cycle of that going on right now. And I would say we are at, you know, kind of a half of that cycle being executed in India, but early stages in other markets. But then what is happening beyond this lending, then there are other areas opening up, which again need to be digitalized for that. Where there's going to be next regular. Now the drivers of spend are determined how the business cycles of these financial like banks in India are right now spending on these cycles. So I think the business is moving forward. In some markets, they may lag by 1 or 2 years. So I would say that on this wave of even the digital journeys, which we are right now writing, we are probably in the early 20-30% of that cycle. And it may last next 3 to 4 years in different areas, unless there are more macro situations which affect spend patterns in the market. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it does. If I could just squeeze, you know, one last question, just tangential to this, you know, is getting the year financially, right? You know, we noticed H1 versus H2, you know, the absolute seasonality kind of contracted this year, FY24, which means H1, to that extent, has a bigger base to be defended left. The next year. You reckon this is a base we can defend comfortably as we step into the next fiscal, or would you caution saying that, you know, given how low the gestation period is, it's something that you, I mean, it's something that is really not in the bag as things stand today.
See, one of the issues of any time you grow faster, you've got a next quarter challenge of growing even faster than that. That becomes the dynamics of business. But, you know, having said that, in our business, there is some amount of annuity getting generated which gets some compounding effect, whether it's through annuity revenues or through compounding ATSs. And generally the relationships, once you start, they are long-term, so they keep on continuing. So somehow we are always comfortable going into next year as the base of the business has increased substantially. Having said that, we strongly dependent on our ability to go and sell again, which is the reason, you know, in a post-COVID, we have really grown faster as the markets have opened up. So we'll have to still go and execute our business plans next year. But we don't think the market as a constraint. We don't see right now the conditions in the market seem to be, you know, quite favorable, and our products and services are being received well. So I don't see any reason. But yes, there's a lot of hard work for growth, which we need to still do.
Thanks very much. All the best.
Thank you. Before we go with the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from Mihir Manohar from Carlin Asset Management. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, largely wanted to understand the U.S. part of the business. I mean, we have done a strong growth in the last 3 quarters. This quarter, the U.S. business was soft, both on a YoY as well as QoQ basis. So if you can give color, you know, why did that happen? And, you know, what is the movement which is happening in the U.S. strategy, specifically the GSI part, That will be helpful. My second question was on the fact that, you know, I mean, when we see the last year specifically was a year of uncertainty. And even in that situation, I mean, we were able to have such a handsome growth. So just wanted to get your sense now, situation getting more certain, with US interest rates expected to remain in a certain range. How are you seeing the client conversations, and do we expect, you know, acceleration in growth? Given the fact that even in a bad period, you had a good growth. So some color around that. My third question was on the large logos. If you can throw some light, you know, have we added tier ones across any of the geographies, maybe APAC, maybe EMEA, or maybe India? That will be helpful. And just last fourth question was, wanted to understand the deal size. I mean, what is the average deal size which is there currently, and what it used to be there, let's say 2 years before, 3 years before? That will be helpful here.
Mir, thanks for this rapid fire of questions. You know. I need a couple of more brains to remember all of them. So, but yes, I'll try. So, see, on the US, you are absolutely right. I think our aspiration to grow in the US is even much higher than the company's growth rate. And we think because that's the larger market and we got an entitlement to do that. Having said that, we have grown by around 25% Y-on-Y in US this year. What is happening is the other markets, we are receiving far better traction. And that's why they are still leading that growth. So it's not that the US is not growing, but US is not growing at the level of our own expectation, our own business plan. And so some amount of our GSI initiatives are still work in progress. Some amount of tilt towards from mid-sized banks to larger banks is still work in progress. Opening of insurance vertical is still work in progress. So there's a lot of work happening. They have not yielded results on that. So I would say US is still work in progress, but we have still grown. When we say work in progress, we have still grown at 25% in US this year for 9 months period. For, you know...
Just a clarification. I mean, US this year is single-digit growth, right? For this quarter, sorry. Both on a YOY as well as QOQ basis.
So on YOY basis for 9 months for US, we have grown at 25%, 24.96%. And 13% on quarter-on-quarter compared to last year. This last year. Yeah.
Sure.
Are you clear? Okay.
Yes.
Now, the second thing is about, you know, the certainty of the market. So if you look at, you know, the uncertainty which people are talking about, tracking of it, is typically a mature market phenomenon. So one thing is, I think we hope that if the mature market start behaving, our mature market business, our GSI business, as well as the US business should see a better traction once they are out of that, as we are also pivoting to larger accounts. But since our business predominantly is still driven, and the growth is driven from emerging markets like India, Middle East, APAC, that's why we have been able to still substantially grow when there was pain in those markets. Now, if the pain is less in those markets and we are having the same traction in our existing markets, we can also keep on growing faster or make better results happening in US and Europe. On the large logos and large deals, I think we are the accounts which you have mentioned in the both our press release and what Mr. did, they're all typically tier one accounts in India and Middle East. We are talking of tier one banks, you know, one of the top 10 banks, or similarly in Middle East we are talking. In US, the order which we have got for the healthcare is a tier one account. So there are, but we have not added large tier one accounts in US. They have been existing accounts. So in APAC, Middle East and India, we have added tier one accounts, but not in US. The US predominant business which has come have come from existing accounts which are tier one accounts. So on the deal size, I think I will ask Dipti to, if you can send details, we can give you more details. But generally, you know, we keep on expanding as, you know, you see the number of logo wins are not changing substantially, but the growth rates are changing. So that's a function of our average deal sizes going up substantially. I don't have the numbers exactly, but I think we can share those numbers with you.
Sure. That's really helpful. And lastly, just on the GSI strategy, I mean, any uptick over there?
Work in progress. So I think in GSI there are multiple things right now. As you rightly said, GSI was predominantly focused on mature markets, and there is a lot of pain happening in those mature markets. And I think as a result of that, we have got some traction from them, but it's not as the expectation as per the expectations the company had. So we're still working on. I think our partnerships with Duck3, Guideware, those are going to help the whole GSI ecosystem. We are working on two more partnerships. So it will take a bit more time.
Sure. Yeah. That's it for my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ms.
And the next question from Ashish Chopra from Goldman Sachs Asset Management Limited.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Deep, just a question as a follow-up on your previous comment. Could you just explain in a little bit more detail the model that you would have in a partnership with someone like a Duck Creek, which it says would be an insurance product platform? So is it like a product that is having features from you and hence you make revenues as they sell, or what would be the business model and also the potential opportunity size that you kind of foresee in such a partnership?
Hi, Ashish, and thanks for the question. So what happens, whether we're talking of Guidewire, Duck Creek, or any Mambu for that matter, these are typically product-to-product alliances. Where what we are trying to say that the use cases of Duck Creek in terms of what are the digital journeys which are implemented on our product have better support of working on Duck Creek platform. So what it gives comfort to the customer that any customer who has a Duck Creek platform and wants to reinvent low-code digital journeys, Newgen becomes a better choice because the integrations are already established. So these are product-to-product integrations. The way they influence the market is that all of a sudden the Duck Creek ecosystem becomes our prospect. And then we can run joint go-to-markets with either Duck Creek or with any other partner like the GSIs who have Duck Creek practices on that. One of our initiatives over the next 2-3 years is going to be to seed insurance in a big way in both in U.S. and India. So in that, the property and casualty insurance is where Duck Creek plays strongly, and this is one of the areas where we are going to work both on claims and onboarding journeys. And that's where our product-to-product integration is on. So it's an early stage. This is what I would call basic steps to go and enter these markets, and then subsequently you'll have to do all other things to make sure you win those cases. Ashish, does that answer your question?
Yes, yes. So just to ensure that I understand it correctly, so your contextual services platform becomes as one of the options that can be integrated into a Duck Creek platform, is what is the messaging that you are giving to the
Exactly.
clients, and hence that's an opportunity. Hence.
Yeah. Yeah, insurance customer who has Duck Creek as a platform, he's looking at content services, he's looking at workflow services, or he's looking at automation of digital processes. So we have automatically an alliance form where the products work and talk to each other.
Understood, understood. And with this, which could be the other that maybe large potential partnerships even in the banking platform, if any, that would exist today?
So in banking, we don't go the same way because in banking, over the period of time, we have already done integration with most of the core bankings in the world. So we are already, the credentials are quite established that we sit on any core banking and provide solutions and services. But in U.S., when we went to the U.S. market, we did with all the U.S. core banking, we did these integrations with that. On the Duck Creek side or Guidewire, which is another insurance player, so insurance is a new area where we are going and implementing and solving larger use cases. So we are focusing on that segment to do that integration.
Understood, understood. And my second question was around the license revenue segment in the overall revenues, which has grown now in excess of 70% over the last 2 quarters. So should that be construed as the flow-through from the high product license sales that we had in the prior quarters, and hence this would normalize in line with the license sales that we witnessed, or is there some other element to it that we should take note of?
No, I think so. Difficult to exactly answer that question, but I think we do still expect the license revenues in the coming quarters to be substantial for us to grow. And so we're still, so there's no rationalization. You could say that, last year Q3 license was very, very high, so this year you don't see the growth. But on a Y-on-Y basis, you will see license revenue growing. So as part of our growth, still since the number of deal acquisitions are still in the same traditional range, we still need a lot of license deals to for higher growth rate. So as the markets which are showing more traction are India and Middle East, and there are going to be larger, lot of deals which are going to be license-based deals. So we do expect even Q4 and even next year to continue on license growth momentum. But having said that, some amount of still deals are going into subscription revenue, and which will get accumulated in revenue later, which builds the base of the revenue. So there is going to be some amount of, so in the beginning of the year, I said that our target is to that license revenue will grow by 10-12%, and still we should be able to do a healthy growth, about 24-25%. So I think even next year we should be in the same range. But our base of ATS will keep on growing, and other subscription revenues will kick in.
Sure. I was actually referring to the implementation revenue growth. So because that is running far ahead of what probably the license sales growth is. And so I wanted to know what other elements would be drivers of that.
See, I think one of the reasons for implementation revenue growth is the larger deals which we are accumulating. So what happens in larger deals, the ratio between license and implementation changes. So historically in a 500 or 700K deal, it would have been a 60% license and 40% implementation. But on a 3 million deal, it becomes reverse, or even the license becomes smaller. So that means you accumulate more implementation revenue, more support, more services revenue. And that's what's building growth in last quarter. I think this may continue for some because the order books have grown for last, two quarters substantially. So some amount of implementation revenue may continue growing and support revenue may continue growing. But, you know, we do intend to increase the deal velocity and to keep our gross margins intact. So in the short term, it may have a kind of a jerk for one or two quarters, but typically in a slightly mid to long term, generally the annuity revenues will grow faster than the, what you call implementation and service revenues.
Understood. And just one last question from my side. So when we look at the very strong growth YOY this quarter on revenues, 27%, typically in that scenario, we would have expected, let's say, the margin expansion to be higher versus the 70 basis points that we see this quarter at the EBITDA level. Like you had mentioned in the past, that beyond 15-20% growth margin should expand. So just if you could maybe help us with the breakup there in terms of whether this is really the gross margin where we might have seen some adjustment, or is it more on the operational expenses at this point?
See, we have grown for 9 months around 30%, and that, as we say, our budgets generally are always at that run in the beginning around 22-23%. So any higher growth for that should get adjusted in the what you call margin expansion. But we have aspirations of growing even faster, so we keep on investing more. We did some, I think we had a disclosure of doing a large consulting exercise with one of the tier one consulting companies. There was almost a near around $1 million cost which we have taken. There is also kind of some amount of one-time cost in SG&A, which is typically a supply of hardware which has come in this time, which has taken, which has, added to the cost. So there's some amount of, say, $1.5 million extraordinary cost this quarter. Otherwise, the margin could have expanded rightly. But, I think, as we said, the guidance of typically a net margin of roughly around 19% and an EBIT of 23% is what we, because we do want to invest again next year for higher growth. So that's where we are. But you're right, beyond 23-24% of cost, anything higher revenues will always expand margins.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, all the participants are requested to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from Chirag Kachurdia from Ashika Institutional Equity.
Hello. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions. So if you look at the net logo addition on year-on-year, it's showing the similar trend that what we have 2 years back also. So what strategy going forward to add the logo addition? Yeah, I understand your comment that in absolute terms, the on-par logo basis, the business is expanded in value terms. But from a diversification perspective and reducing the concentration risk as we move forward, how are we going to add more and more logos? So, customer client risk can get mitigated. And second, on annuity revenue growth perspective, what strategy is there to, maintain this growth trajectory going forward? Yeah.
Thanks, Chirag. I think you're right. On net logo for over multiple years, our typical logos additions have been similar. And what we have said is that's part of function of how we are operating the business. We are pivoting away from smaller deals. We are pivoting away from typically the small banks which we are trying to win in US. And we are going for larger deals. And it's a conscious effort. Having said that, our ambition is to bring logo rates, even win rates higher than this. So, but that's a function when all markets perform equally. Right now for us, we can say out of four markets, three markets are performing, one is very slow right now because the mature markets are not firing that level. So as other markets and we start diversifying slightly more into other verticals, we should be able to get better logo rates. So you are absolutely right on that, but our targets would still remain to add, probably take this logo rate to 60 logos a year or 65 or 70. Not really, really high. We don't have concentration risks. I think we are typically one of the most least concentration of revenue or concentration of segments in that. So typically it's, we have got this kind of a revenue, 1,000 crore revenue last year by roughly around 520 customers. So, and no customer contributes more than 2-3% of the revenue. So there is no concentration risk in our business. And when we say logos, these are net new logos added in that year. So we have also all the other logos. So I don't think the concentration is a risk. On the annuity front, as we clearly said, as part of our license business, some amount of compounding of annuity happens through ATS and AMC, but also some of the license deals are shifting to subscription-based deals, which are automatically adding to the annuity. We do hope that our annuity licenses will keep on growing faster than the company growth rate. I think this quarter is slightly an exception, but generally, if you look at historically, that has been the rate. And we may be back in next quarter or next quarter, we may again come back on the same trend.
Yeah, just one follow-up question, sir. Obviously, the economic scenario standing out in the Western world. And second, in last 7 years, we almost made a 3x jump in our top line. So will this trajectory to continue going forward, any qualitative comment would be useful? Yeah.
So I think economic scenarios, you know, what we have, I think, we are still operating in markets at a much smaller level, and we have seen the Europe in pain. Europe businesses have really been slow for us, and some amount of also US uncertainty in larger accounts has been there. As everybody is hearing, we are feeling also things are coming out. Customers are asking for proposals, they're asking for RFPs are coming out. We hope that things change, but you know, I don't have the exact answer to that, and I don't think anybody has on that. Yes, we have done phenomenally well over the last 7 years, and there is no reason we should not do the same thing. But, you know, beyond that, I would not be able to state exactly how much it will, whether we can do next 3x in 3 years or 7 or 10 years is difficult to predict.
Okay, thanks. All the very best.
Thank you. And the next question is from Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question to Mr. Nigam's comment where he said we are working on helping banks related to some public digital infrastructure side. So can you slightly elaborate more what exactly we are doing out here?
So I think just to clarify what he said, for a lot of public sector banks, we are working on their digital journeys in terms of when they are trying to digitalize their journeys to improve their quality of service, improve their speed of service and scale. That's what we are helping. And I explained that, you know, like examples are like, you know, transforming lending end to end. A lot of work has happened when the government has invested in digital stack, India digital stack. How to leverage that and transform the digital journey for a lending or a business loan. That's what we are helping Indian banks in that. And that's where we have got a lot of traction from these banks. And we continue to do that. Just a clarification to that.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from Sarang Nair from RW Investment Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I hope I'm audible. So the implementation segment has performed very strongly this quarter, and you had mentioned that large deals would be a driver for this. But apart from that, was there any lumpy project undertaken on the implementation side during the quarter, like a one-off?
No, Sarang, thank you for the question. Sarang, no. So if you look at service revenues, can't have lumpiness because the nature of they're related on the execution. And you can't just ramp up execution for a quarter. So they are more sustained and slightly long-term. So there's no single client which is driving large numbers or values. So we added some large clients over the last 1.5 years. And those have the implementation and execution of those is driving this, but those clients continue to be added and we continue to do business with them.
Sure, sir. So also in general, how is the demand environment in the US geography? Tier 1 IT companies aren't seeing, you know, it's not very bright to them. And has there been a strong progress in this geography after opening of the branch in New York?
Varun, I think this is a question typically which is, see, I think Indian industry, the discourse around services and how the service industry is completely depending on the mature market. And the, I think slightly we are into a challenger ecosystem. We are a product-based company. We do keep on, you know, servicing our customers, and what's important for us to be in front of the customer. We have seen lately things improving in U.S., not account of opening office, but in terms of some amount of customers, especially our pivot to larger banks and larger banks looking at redefining and reinvesting in their digital journeys. That's where we are seeing some renewed interest in that. But I think we'll have to wait a bit to see how it pans out.
Sure. Do you see any inorganic opportunities in pipeline?
You know, our strategy around our core products and our core verticals, we are staying on that. Any opportunities which can augment that journey, we are looking at some of them, but right now there is nothing exactly finalized or something.
Sure. So just to clarify, did you mention that the order book growth in 9 months was 20%?
Yes.
Okay. So could you put a number to the growth and margin expected in FY25? Any upward revision from the 25% growth? Or do you see, and on the margin side, do you see yourself reinvesting back into the business and maintaining the 19% net profit margin?
Yes, so on the margin, first, we have a kind of an understanding which we have built internally that in spite of investing for business, we should be able to keep on delivering those. But if we find opportunity to invest aggressively for growth, I think we can go. There's no commitment or a defined value. That's what we have said. This is the number we can easily reach, and then over a longer period, we can expand that. See, on the projection of what's going to happen next year, I think it's too early. We will not be able to comment on that. And I think, you know, you see, lot of things will depend on, you know, in terms of our ability to execute our business plans. And right now, we are very, very hopeful that we should have good years. There's no reason we can't continue this growth momentum.
Sure, sir. Thank you, and hope this year also goes well for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. As further, there are no questions. I would like to hand over the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. For any further questions, you can connect with me or you can go to our website for further details. Thank you. Thanks all.
On the behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.